Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. I am a huge fan of the Bravo reality cooking show competition Top Chef. Season 6 of it takes place in Las Vegas, and like Vegas, it is fast-paced and fun. And let's not forget the amazing food prepared by the most talented and creative chefs in the country. One of these talented and creative chefs is Robin Leventhal, who is joining us today to talk about her experiences on Top Chef and her triumph over cancer. Before becoming a chef, Robin Leventhal was an artist. While pursuing a master's in fine arts at the University of Michigan, Robin took a job in the catering department. This was only intended to be a summer job, but it quickly became clear to Robin that she had a passion for food. Robin's Pacific Northwest roots are the foundation of her cooking, which is accented by flavors of her world travels. Robin formerly owned and operated Crave, a popular Seattle bistro, and currently uses her cooking and culinary connections to help raise money for lymphoma research and is closely involved with the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. Robin, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Lisa, that was a beautiful introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. That. Oh my gosh, Robin, I'm so excited to be speaking with you. My husband and I are such huge fans of yours. We absolutely look forward to seeing you. We love seeing the show, and I'm so glad that you're here today. Now, in your Get to Know You video on BravoTV.com, you talk about your mom not being a very good cook. And let me tell you, I can completely relate. My mom, I think she was like afraid of spices or something. And you also talk about when you first got interested in cooking. So can you tell us about that?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if my mom was afraid of spices. She just was uninterested in being in the kitchen.
Oh.
but she was really interested in teaching us how to take care of herself. And
oh,
I think
good.
That served me well in life.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly was not afraid of the kitchen. I was, more intrigued and mystified. And I think it also gave me the personal strength to endure a diagnosis such as cancer. You know, tools are part of our foundation of how we approach life. And I think, despite not being a great cook, she gave me a lot of other fantastic skills.
Oh, that's good. And then you got interested in cooking, I believe, from a roommate in college. Is that correct?
She was the first person that really kind of demystified standing in front of the stove and making something delicious and without a cookbook. Because cookbooks, I was never a big book fan. I liked the pictures. I wasn't interested in, don't make me memorize exact dates all the time. And, you know, to me, it was just a very organic, intuitive process, but I just needed someone to kind of hold my hand and show me through. And she was Italian, and to her, everything was, you know, throw it in the pan and start sauteing it, and when it sounds right, or, you know, it's color and smell and texture, and it's a visceral experience. And I think that's why I gravitated towards food so much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Very much like ceramics. It's hands-on and instinctual.
Yeah, tell us about your ceramic work.
You know, again, thanks to my parents, they really supported my, they nurtured my soul. And, you know, they treated me to a lot of wonderful meals as I grew up. They also gave me the opportunity to explore and discover who Robin was in the core. And one of the things I fell in love with early on was playing with my hands. So anything craft-oriented I took to really instinctually, and ceramics early on. I mean, I have pots from when I was like 5 years old. And then as I went through school, became more of a hand builder and worked on the idea of a vessel. So I like the notion of holding things, but maybe it was more of a mental and spiritual process that you were exploring the vessel notion from, rather than what's inside here. Is this a delicious bowl of soup, or is it, you know, a place that I can contemplate?
Oh, that's really cool. I love the way you combine your art and your creativity with your food. I find that really inspiring. Now, I've been a fan of Top Chef since season one. And when did you decide you wanted to be on the show?
I'm not sure I ever decided I wanted to be on it. I had many people suggest I would be fantastic on it. Oh, you know, after the first season, people are like, oh, my God, you'd be so good on it. Mm-hmm. And my notion always was, I was a ski racer. I'm a competitive person. But when it came to food, food was about heart and soul and very much the antithesis of competition in my mind. And yet, after I had lease issues with my landlord and found myself, after having a successful restaurant without a place to cook, and Top Chef came and did open casting, and I found out about it through actually one of my old cooks, I went and auditioned. And when things sink into place and you're given opportunity, I think it, you know, was one of those things I couldn't say no to.
That's cool.
So it you know, it wasn't that it fell in my lap. I certainly seeked it out. I didn't consciously say, I want to be on Top Chef. And you know, I was like, here's an opportunity. Let's see what happens. And as it unfolded, I'm so happy I did it.
Oh, I'm so happy you did it too. Now, now, what was the most enjoyable and least enjoyable thing about being on the show?
You know, I mean, I'm kind of a crazy person in that I do love the challenge in life. So I think, you know, one of the most incredible things about it was pushing myself to something I never, A, thought I would do. B, you know, you don't know what you're capable of until you're thrown into it. Mm-hmm. And it was incredibly hard. So being able to come out the other end and say I accomplished more than I could have ever, you know, I mean, I would have loved to have won. I'm so thrilled I made it as far as I did.
Yeah, you did great.
And, you know, and it's endurance of the soul as much as it is being able to get up there every day and compete and put out great food. So, you know, I think, you know, I come out of it just really proud of what I've accomplished. It was great meeting, you know, talented other chefs and, you know, the caliber of chefs that we got to shake hands with and cook for was a little daunting. You know, I think, you know, I'm a positive person. I'd rather dwell on that. But in fairness, to answer your question, I think the ugly side of it was some of the drama I had to endure at the house.
Yeah, I felt bad.
It was really stressful. And, you know, I think that's one of the things I've learned to avoid in my life is reduce stress.
Yes.
And so I just focused on being positive and trying not to let the childish spirit interfere with my potential.
Exactly. No, I felt the same way. You know, I'm 42 and I really felt for you with dealing with some of the younger contestants. I thought it might be, you know, tough not having someone, especially another woman who was your age to relate to. I think that, you know, and also a lot of the guys, you know, they were wonderful chefs, but again, they're young. And I thought you handled it beautifully. I'm trying to be nice here. I'm just saying.
I appreciate it.
You handled it really well.
And that's all I want to be too, is nice.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
I mean, I think that we can all look at the ugly side, but why dwell on that? I don't think it accomplishes anything.
No, I don't think so either. But I did want to commend you. I thought you did really well. Now, speaking of handling pressure, those quick fire challenges, I mean, my husband and I, we were on the edge of our seat. I'm like, how? And he's like, I can't make an egg in 10 minutes. How the heck? It's like, I'm making the da-da-da with the sauce of the, I don't even know the fancy words. I mean, just getting it, you know, just getting it on the plate. How did you handle the pressure of those quick fire challenges?
Well, you know, it's funny because when we work in a restaurant, every dish is a quick fire in essence. I mean, ultimately, you know how to make something instinctually. You can think, you don't have to think anymore when it's a dish you make over and over and over. Mm-hmm. But every night, something's going to happen where you are forced into a quick fire kind of experience. So, you know, I almost thrived better on the quick fires in some ways because it's like there's no time to think. So sometimes thinking can actually interfere.
Oh, that's true.
But at the same time, you know, it's partially your skills and it's partially what can you come up with in a matter of like a minute or two, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have time for it. So there's a real intuitive, instinctual part of a quick fire that I liked. And the one that I won, it obviously clicked with me.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, you know, I mean, I definitely was a controversial topic. to be able to have an answer to a solution to a problem inside your being is the right answer. And that's what happened to me on that assignment. I wasn't thinking. It just kind of, I felt the answer. And then I started thinking about it and going, well, no, wait, that's too easy. That seems, I started to second guess myself, and that's when I'm like, no, you don't have time to think about this. Just do it, you know? So I followed my gut instinct, even though I wanted to say, it's too easy, I can't make an apple crisp and on national TV and feel, you know, that there's integrity in that. And yet, you know, I mean, from the beginning, my goal was to make my food and apple crisp. You know, if I'm going to eat dessert, it's one of my favorite desserts. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
great.
I don't feel embarrassed by the fact that I won on a
no, why should
apple
you?
Crisp at all. I think, you know, what was tragic was that it got turned into something that became about cancer and not about the validity of the dish. So I knew that it was the right thing to do when I started it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because I remember, I think, reading an interview that you wanted to stick with your comfort foods, but then it seemed like on a lot of the challenges you tried other things. So was that hard to, like, sort of a hard decision to make about what you should do and where you should go? Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I think we can be confident in our own context. In my restaurant, I mean, I've got people lining up for my food. Of course I feel good about it. When I'm cooking next to people like Michael Voltaggio and, you know, I mean, and his brother, you know, I mean, those two are just unbelievably talented, skillful, you know, and knowledgeable in ways that I, you know, have not been exposed to. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, everybody's valid that's up there, but it's, you know, it's a different audience that we attract. And yet I can still respect who they are as chefs and you know, I think was in awe, you know, to be honest. I was blown away by them.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're pretty incredible. I just want to let everyone know that you're listening to WUML 91.5 FM. Lowell, this is Thinking Out Loud with It's Your Health. We're talking with Robin Leventhal from the wonderful show Top Chef on Bravo. Just absolutely love Bravo. And, I think that there must have been some pressure, obviously, because you have these chefs that have different skill sets. But comfort food, I love comfort food, you know? I mean, I think it's really wonderful. So,
And I think what my goal was to take my notions and flavors and upscale. And it's not that my comfort food is pedestrian looking. I mean, I certainly try to, you know, consider form and color and texture on every plate, and I want it to all be beautiful. But am I creating sculptures? No, that's not my objective. And, you know, I think that's part of, you know, the molecular gastronomy movement is how can you transcend what our notion is of a steak on the plate? Can we make this look like, what is this on here, you know? So in a way, the way that my vessels would create mystery because there was a hole in it and you couldn't put liquid in it, I suppose they approach the plate. They want you to think about what's in front of you more than just, wow, this looks amazing, I can't wait to eat it. You know, what is the strange form on my plate? Oh, wow, look, it jiggles. Or or like the Caesar encapsulated dressing, you know, that will break like an egg yolk, you know. And those are beautiful. Those are experiential,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I recently saw Padma on 30 Rock. She was a guest star, and she was really funny. Now, was she ever funny between takes?
Yep, and that was one of the things I talk about. And I think, you know, we all see only what's being presented. And, you know, she really kept a very professional relationship with us because she doesn't want to develop objectivity.
I see.
Or she wants to keep herself objective.
Yes.
She doesn't want to become subjective. But one of the things that she started to do after our first couple episodes was tell us jokes in between, you know, the takes, which was such a relief. I think, you know, because we're all sitting there just biting our nails waiting for the next challenge to begin. But I think, you know, There was speculations of, and not me per se, but, you know, I think, you know, why do people want to hate beautiful people? I don't understand. But, you know, I think it was just really nice to see the personal side of her and have her warm up so that maybe she could disprove some of the things people said about her.
Yeah. She's
they were ugly.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, she's so
beautiful. You know,
and she seems so nice.
I think the stress of the experience, you know, they lashed out at anything they could.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Now, speaking of stressful experiences, I want to make sure we have some time to talk about. Did you have lymphoma?
I have two kinds of lymphoma.
Oh my goodness! Right. How are you doing now?
I'm very fortunate that we caught it early, and I'm surrounded by such phenomenal technology. So, right now, I'm doing great, and I hope to keep it that way.
Oh.
I've got Hodgkin's, which is in remission from chemo, and then the other one is the non-Hodgkin's cellular lymphoma, called B-cell. And I, you know, have not had treatment for it per se, and it's one of those things that you watch and wait, which is a very surreal thing to talk about with cancer. But until your body or life is being impacted negatively, they don't like to bother it.
Yeah.
And so diagnosis was really the tricky part. My samples went all over the country. They couldn't figure out what I had, and it was so confusing, which was pretty terrifying. That they couldn't figure something out. It's like, okay, great. What did I? but in the end, like I said, I mean, I'm so blessed. We caught it early. I mean, some people don't find out until it's too late.
Yeah,
that they're not well. And you know, there was just something a little off kilter. I'm blessed that I've been athletic my whole life and in touch with my body and knew that this lump shouldn't be there, and I could feel it. It was on my surface in my groin. If you get it in your abdomen, you know, people don't know until there's the grapefruit-sized tumors.
Yes.
You can't really operate on them.
Yeah, I've known people that have passed away when they find it in that area. Now,
it's tragic.
It is very sad. Both my mother and my mother-in-law passed away from cancers that were too far gone by the time they found them. So I completely understand now.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I was only familiar with cancer as a death sentence. So my father had passed, you know, some other relatives, to me, hearing that was pretty terrifying. It didn't necessarily mean you can come out the other end and still have a healthy life. And I just want to tell the world that you can.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, you were such a great example on the show. I was just so impressed with your arms when you were doing the yoga. I'm thinking, I got to get her to come over and do some yoga with me. Now, I wanted to ask you quickly. I recently interviewed Suzanne Summers about her number one New York Times bestseller Knockout about doctors who are using alternative methods to battle cancer. Now, did you use any alternative methods in your healing regimen?
Well, I think, you know, on a daily basis, and I don't think this is alternative, but I think it's something we don't think and talk about, is your mental balance.
Oh, yes.
And to me, like, that was one of the profound things, recognizing, like, when I first opened my restaurant, I was stressed out, I wasn't getting sleep, wasn't taking care of myself. And what I learned in hindsight was that that was a big part of the factor why I got sick.
Yeah.
And so trying to find my inner zen and keep myself in a positive space are my personal alternative medicines that I use, because there's no medicine involved. when I was first diagnosed, I was going to the acupuncturist. I was drinking a lot of Chinese herbs. I was going to a few different kinds of body workers that really manipulated your fluids in your system. So, I mean, I had them. They were working on me, and they apparently I had a vertebrae that had been out.
Oh.
A rib that had been out from who knows when as an athlete my whole life. And they adjusted a rib, which I didn't know you could do. And
yeah.
I heard a pop and a flush inside my chest.
Oh, wow.
I felt the liquid flush out. And basically, there was a clog in my lymphoma system.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they did. And the doctor himself promoted himself as a witch doctor because he practiced so many different kinds of medicines but had no official degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a very holistic approach to your body and how it moved. And so those guys I went to after every chemo session, and they helped move, the fluids around, the lymphoma itself, helped just kind of circulate my system.
Oh, that's terrific. You know, Robin,
yeah.
We're actually out of time, which
okay.
is terrible. I just wanted to ask one quick question.
Sure.
Just tell us really quickly about the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research
Thank
Center.
Thank you. They are fantastic. Teaching and education hospital that are developing wonderful new cures for treating lymphoma, specifically targeting the 6 cells rather than delivering chemo to the whole body.
Now, do you have a website for them? And I can put it on my
it's
site.
It's Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, or you can go to jeffrobinleventhal.com and find a link there as well.
Oh, well, Robin, it's been so wonderful having you on today. It's really such
Thanks
a pleasure. And I look forward to hearing more and having you back on the show sometime to let us know how you're doing and what you've been up to.
Sounds fantastic. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Robin, have a wonderful day, and thank you so much. Keep listening. Coming up next.